Tension, be very kind. Layers of tension will gradually release. Places in your body where you have held the patterns of old illness and trauma will open. Then a deeper physical purification and opening of the energy channels will occur as the knots release and dissolve. Let your attention drop beneath the superficial level that just notices pleasure, tension, or pain. Examine the pain and unpleasant sensations you usually block out. With careful mindfulness, you will allow pain to show itself to have many layers. As a first step, we can learn to be aware of pain without creating further tension, to experience and observe pain physically as pressure, tightness, pinpricks, needles, throbbing, or burning. Then we can notice all the layers around the pain. Inside are the strong elements of fire, vibration, and pressure. Outside is often a layer of physical tightness and contraction. Beyond this may be an emotional layer of aversion, anger, or fear, and a layer of thoughts and attitudes such as, I hope this will go away soon, or if I feel pain, I must be doing something wrong, or life is always painful. To heal, we must become aware of all these layers. Just as we open and heal the body by sensing its rhythms and touching it with a deep and kind attention, so we can open and heal other dimensions of our being. The heart and the feelings go through a similar process of healing through the offering of our attention to their rhythms, nature, and needs. Most often, opening the heart begins by opening to a lifetime's accumulation of unacknowledged sorrow, both our personal sorrows and the universal sorrows of warfare, hunger, old age, illness, and death. As we take the one seat and develop a meditative attention, the heart presents itself naturally for healing. The grief we have carried for so long, from pains and dashed expectations and hopes, arises. What we find as we listen to the songs of our rage or fear, loneliness or longing, is that they do not stay forever. Rage turns into sorrow. Sorrow turns into tears. Tears may fall for a long time, but then the sun comes out. A memory of old loss sings to us. Our body shakes and relives the moment of loss. Then the armoring around that loss gradually softens, and in the midst of the song of tremendous grieving, the pain of that loss finally finds release. In truly listening to our most painful songs, we can learn the divine art of forgiveness. In this, we discover a remarkable truth. Much of spiritual life is self-acceptance, maybe all of it. Indeed, in accepting the songs of our life, we can begin to create for ourselves a much deeper and greater identity in which our heart holds all within a space of boundless compassion. Just as we heal the body and the heart through awareness, so can we heal the mind. Just as we learn about the nature and rhythm of sensations and feelings, so can we learn about the nature of thoughts. As we notice our thoughts in meditation, we discover that they are not in our control. We swim in an uninvited, constant stream of memories, plans, expectations, judgments, images, and regrets. Out of these, the mind plans and imagines, creating endless struggles and scenarios for changing the world. Yet the very root of these movements of mind is dissatisfaction. We seem to want both endless excitement and perfect peace. Instead of being served by our thinking, we are driven by it in many unconscious and unexamined ways. This dualistic nature of thought is a root of our suffering. Whenever we think of ourselves as separate, fear and attachment arise, and we grow constricted, defensive, ambitious, and territorial. To protect the separate self, we push certain things away, while to bolster it, we hold on to other things and identify with them. Healing the mind takes place in two ways. In the first, we bring attention to the content of our thoughts and learn to redirect them more skillfully through practices of wise reflection. Then, for a deeper healing of the conflicts of the mind, we need to let go of our identification with them. When we see that the mind's very nature is to think, to divide, to plan, we can release ourselves from its iron grip of separatism and come to rest in the body and heart. In this way, we step out of our identification, out of our expectations, opinions, and judgments, and the conflicts to which they give rise. The mind thinks of the self as separate. The heart knows better. As one great Indian master, Sri Nisargadatta, put it, the mind creates the abyss, and the heart crosses it. The aspect of mindful healing is awareness of the universal laws that govern life. Central to it is an understanding of emptiness. In Buddhist teaching, emptiness refers to a basic openness and non-separation that we experience when all small and fixed notions of ourself are seen through or dissolved. We experience it when we see that our existence is transitory, that our body, heart, and mind arise out of the changing web of life where nothing is disconnected or separate. The deepest experiences in meditation lead us to an intimate awareness of life's essential openness and emptiness, of its ever-changing and unpossessable nature, of its nature as an unstoppable process. We ourselves are a process, woven together with life without separateness. We arise like a wave out of the ocean of life, our tentative forms still one with the ocean. Some traditions call this ocean the Tao, the divine, the fertile void, the unborn. Out of it, our lives appear as reflections of the divine, as a movement or dance of consciousness. The most profound healing comes when we sense this process, this life-giving emptiness. The Tibetan teacher Kalu Rinpoche puts it this way, "You live in illusion and the appearance of things. There is a reality, but you do not know this. When you understand this, you will see that you are nothing, and being nothing, you are everything. That is all." Healing comes in touching this realm of non-separation. We discover that our fears and desires, our attempts to enhance and defend ourselves, are based on delusion, on a sense of separateness that is fundamentally untrue. A story is told of the Buddha when he was wandering in India shortly after his enlightenment. He was encountered by several men who recognized something quite extraordinary about this handsome prince, now robed as a monk. Stopping to inquire, they asked, "Are you a god?" "No," he answered. "Well, are you a deva or an angel?" "No," he replied. "Well, are you some kind of a wizard or magician?" "No." "Are you a man?" "No." They were perplexed. Finally, they asked, "Then what are you?" He replied simply, "I am awake." The word Buddha means to awaken. How to awaken is all that he taught. Meditation can be thought of as the art of awakening. Through the mastering of this art, we can learn new ways to approach our difficulties and bring wisdom and joy alive in our life. The key is the steadiness of our attention. When the fullness of our attention is cultivated together with a grateful and tender heart, our spiritual life will naturally grow. But this is not easy. When we first undertake the art of meditation, it is indeed frustrating. Inevitably, as our mind wanders and our body feels the tension it has accumulated and the speed to which it is addicted, we often see how little inner discipline, patience, or compassion we actually have. It doesn't take much time with a spiritual task to see how scattered and unsteady our attention remains, even when we try to direct and focus it. While we usually think of it as our mind, if we look honestly, we see that the mind follows its own nature, conditions, and laws. Seeing this, we also see that we must gradually